Hey folks, Brian here. As you might hear from my better audio quality, I am back from tour, which we discuss on this episode. But I wanted to let you know that this week we do not have video because Layton's injury is preventing her from being in a position where she can record and do the video. But we'll get back to that as soon as possible, should be next week. Meanwhile, if you sign up for our Patreon at patreon.com/LaytonKnight, you will have access to like 4 years of video episodes with some of our favorite guests. So please go support the show over there and support this. Finally, I'm back from tour, Layton's healing, and things are returning to normal style episode. Do you have any agenda or anything, or are we just going for it?
Well, the general gay agenda.
Yeah, tell me more. Be specific. How can I help?
You're a true ally, Brian Weck.
I know I am. It's hard to be more allied than I am. I tried, and I couldn't be.
Wow.
Yeah, I took a Cosmo quiz. How much of an ally are you? And I got Gaga level ally.
Wow.
I know.
What's interesting is that Lady Gaga is a bisexual woman and people only treat her like she is an ally and not a member of the community.
Well, I think...
in all of the songs that she explicitly talks about being a bisexual woman.
Uh-huh. I didn't know that, for example, but I don't pay much attention to Lady Gaga. Although perhaps we've talked about this. There was
nice
a moment.
Nice allyship, Brian.
Look, just because I am an ally doesn't mean I need to know everything about every queer person, right? Or does it? I guess I should. You know what? I'm actually going to stop talking and start listening.
All right. Do you have an agenda?
Well, before we move on from this, I did want to point out, maybe we've discussed this on the show before, there was a moment in the most recent Star is Born, that a movie which is bad, but I did enjoy, the character played by Lady Gaga is named Allie, and there's a moment spelled A-L-L-Y, right?
Right.
There's a moment where she's in like, I don't know, it's like... maybe it's her apartment or somewhere, a skyscraper, and there's a billboard in the background, and there's a big picture of her that says ally underneath it. And I was like, what are we? This is so on the nose.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever I think of you're an ally, I think of this giant billboard of Lady Gaga that says ally.
Brian Wecht, ally.
Yeah. Maybe I should pay to put up some billboards around LA here.
I'm sure that wouldn't backfire on you.
How could it? Fucking cancel me. Come for me. That's what I'm telling people right now. Do it.
I feel... what is this? A J-O-I?
What? Well, I don't know about the I part.
I mean, I feel like come for me is pretty explicit.
That's the same as the J-O.
All right.
Bam. Coming in hot. I'm back to good audio quality. Did you notice that? Back in my good mic.
Yeah, you are coming in hot onto the good quality mic.
In and on.
Did you have an agenda for this episode, Brian?
No, I'm just happy to be back home. I mean, we recorded a mini yesterday. Everybody
got all of our good material out before recording one for the main feed.
Honestly, a little bit, but that's fine. That's what happens when you sign up for the Patreon at patreon.com/LaytonKnight. You get the A+ material as opposed to merely the A material that we give you here. I guess I should say we can start here. This is Layton Knight with Brian Wecht. My name is Brian Wecht. Over here we have... Layton Gregg.
I was wondering how long, because I think you and I both, we could stalemate at that point forever.
You know what? Yes. And there's only so much dead air chicken that one can play before the audience really leaves, stops you know, stops listening.
Right. Well, that's an important quality of a podcast, is it should be something that you have to endure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, 100%. At some point, if you look at your podcast feed and at some point don't think, you're doing something wrong, because it means your podcasts aren't succeeding. I think no matter how much I love a podcast, and I'm including our own in this, there is always some point where I look at it and I'm like, well, I guess I got to listen to that. But
right.
That's life in the 21st century.
It is. You know what? I know that you're very different about podcasts, but something that's pissing me off is I've been listening to this podcast, Jury Duty, which they covered the Robert Durst trial.
Mm-hmm.
And each episode is 30 minutes. And I feel like 5 to 8 of those 30 is just the last time on Jury Duty and time on Jury Duty. It's like, just put them all in a big fat episode so I can listen to this for 4 hours straight while I play video games like God intended.
Also, the next time. Why are we doing next times on podcasts? Like, I guess I get it, but never. I would never do that.
See, and this kind of mentality is exactly why Late Night is rolling in it.
Yeah, that's right. Another podcast I like. Episodes, and I'm not going to mention any names. Episodes are typically like 12 to 15 minutes, and there are 4 minutes of ads in those, which I get it. I wish we had that problem. We do not. But that's an insane ad ratio.
It is. And how tired are you of hearing Ryan Reynolds talk about Mint Mobile?
You know what? I haven't gotten that one, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like half the shows I listen to, I'm just listening to Ryan Reynolds with his deeply unlikable voice telling me about Mint Mobile.
Yeah,
Ryan Reynolds, if you would like to put ads on our show, I would be happy to take your money.
I've never even heard of Mint Mobile.
We operate in different podcast clouds, Brian.
I guess so. What podcaster is that on?
With Gorley and Rust, and also Jury Duty. The Trial of Robert Durst, which are the two that I'm actually listening to right now. Because I can never... People who faithfully keep up with multiple podcasts at once and don't just do, like, I'm going to spend 6 months where this is the only thing that I listen to, and then I won't touch it for 2 years.
Nope. I am juggling a lot of balls in many different respects.
Obviously.
Obviously. There are probably 13 or so podcasts, maybe more, I listen to on a weekly basis. As someone in the industry, you know, you have to some extent.
Right.
But.
And this show reflects the high volume of podcasts that you consume.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I bring in a lot of influences from various, you know, places in pop culture and more academic fields as well. You can tell how fucking smart I am just by everything I say.
Right. More important, we're 4 years in and we don't have ads. I mean, first of all, listeners, you're welcome. You enjoy this ad-free gravy train while you can, because the gravy train has left the station for us.
Yeah, but also, and I think this might be why we don't have ads, we've never tried. So indeed, it might not be that hard to get ads. We have people that listen to the show. It's a, you know, it's not a huge, huge listenership, but it's a decent size one. But we have never tried to exploit our wonderful fans by selling anything beyond our own Patreon to them.
Yeah, which you can subscribe to at patreon.com/latentnight. Literally all of the money goes back into the show. So,
yep. It's exciting times. Now,
it is.
I do. So let's see. I'm back from tour, and we mentioned this on this week's mini, but I am proud of us for keeping up with the show through a tour and a severe injury.
Yes.
I think we had one rerun in there, but otherwise all new stuff. Some of which we banked before I left, some of which we recorded while I was away.
Indeed.
And of course you did a great episode with Allie and a great episode with Jory. just on your own. And those were really fun. I listened to and edited them both. I thought those were fantastic episodes.
I really loved doing those just because it's me hanging out with my friends and there's a mic on also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any excuse to listen to you with either of those two people is great. And I'd like to give ourselves a little pat on the back for continuing this while I was away.
Yes.
And while you were very, very ill.
Indisposed, yes.
Indisposed.
I'm getting my peg leg in the mail today.
Oh, fun.
You know, there's it's like a little thing that you strap your knee
on.
Into.
On.
Yes, it's a strap-on.
It's a strap-on leg.
And then I'll be able to walk around like a pirate.
Wait, so you bend your leg and
yes.
your knee goes into the thing. So you have effectively two legs. You have your regular
yes.
part of your leg sticking out, and then this part goes down on the ground.
Yes.
Wow.
It's like if I were in a play about pirates and I needed to fake like I had a peg leg, this is how I'd do it.
Okay. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I will see how well that actually works for me, because right now I have crutches and I have a knee scooter. Mm-hmm. Crutches, you can't carry stuff in your hands. I have a
right.
little bag on them, but anything bigger than the bag, that doesn't really wash. Then I have a knee scooter in my studio apartment that is difficult to navigate around, mm-hmm. but it has a basket on the front, so I can put stuff in the basket.
Mm-hmm.
But if I can get this peg leg on and hold an object with both my hands while walking around, I will metaphorically jump for joy. Because I probably
don't actually jump.
Jumping right. is not something I want to do anytime soon.
When are you projected to be back to like just walking on it normally? 2 months?
I should be weight bearing in 2 to 4 weeks.
Fantastic.
Yes.
That's great.
I was reading about... you know, because I want to be prepared for when they take the pins out of my foot.
Mm-hmm.
And my doctor was like, oh, it's not going to hurt. And I didn't believe him. So mm-hmm. I did some Googling. And the resounding response, this is maybe more unsettling than if people had said that it hurts really bad.
Uh-oh.
Because they were like, no, it doesn't hurt. It just is the most wrong physical experience you've ever felt.
Very cool.
Well, yeah.
First of all, you obviously haven't spent enough time with me.
Yes, but it's like, you know, it apparently doesn't hurt, but you're not used to feeling something come out of your bone.
Agree to disagree.
And apparently the feeling of having it taken out feels like there's some sort of lizard brain instinct that's like, no, they're pulling my bones out.
Crazy.
Yeah. I think I'm going to film it.
Oh, that's a very good idea. Yeah.
Just for my menagerie, because I could make like the worst scrapbook of all time. Like, I don't make scrapbooks for vacations or positive life events, but I could print all of these pictures
book.
Out and make a little footbook.
Wow.
It's like Facebook, but for my nasty, fucked up foot.
Yeah, and I've seen many pictures of that foot now mm-hmm. in the last, month and a half?
Yeah.
And there's some pretty upsetting ones.
What would you rank as most upsetting?
Ooh, well, let's revisit our text thread, shall we? Now, this is going to be a real a kind of a mixed bag, because you don't want any of these pictures released publicly, right? So no one's going to know exactly what I'm talking about.
No, all which right. actually probably makes them sound worse.
Scrolling through these, sexy hot dog lady, dog with the tongue.
Me with blue hair.
Audrey texting you. Yep, you with your 18 year old.
Cute
looks.
Pictures of me and Audrey.
Yep. Waffle House menu. Threatening text from you about what fast food chains I should visit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, here we go. Okay. No, that one's not too bad. That's actually pretty. That was a pretty good one. Well, there's definitely... Okay, hold on. I think I'm almost there. Yeah, this is probably the worst one, I think. And I'm looking at a text from, it looks like, Tuesday, April 9th, in which your foot is completely fucked up. Your ankle is swollen beyond belief, and there are giant blood blisters all over it.
Yeah.
That's a really bad one.
That's the one where I have contact dermatitis too, and that is the itchiest thing I've ever experienced. Like, it looks so angry in that picture, and that's exactly how it felt.
Yeah. I think that
my toes are all bruised.
That one is more upsetting than the one above it with the giant blisters, the fracture blisters.
I actually think, in my opinion, the initial, like, you know, 3 days afterward fracture blisters, because it's so swollen. I mean, the blisters are horrifying.
April 2nd. Is that the one we're looking at? Yes. That's a pretty bad one too.
Just horror, abject horror.
Yeah, it's pretty awful. I'll definitely give it that.
Yeah.
Let's see. How many pictures of your feet do I have on my phone now? Let's look. I mean, it's at least 10.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah.
It's great. And then I also have my x-rays of the foot, which are cool.
Those are great. Those aren't upsetting. Those are just cool.
Yeah. That's for dark wiki feet.
Yeah. Well, you certainly, foot-wise, you've been through it.
I have. I've got a little RoboCop foot now, and now I get to go through TSA check. Like, calm down. It's only a little bit of a bomb.
I spent a morning on tour watching scenes from RoboCop 2. RoboCop 2. Yeah, the one with, oh my God, what's his name? Tom Noonan. Isn't that his name, the actor? Tom Noonan, who plays Kane in RoboCop 2. He's also Death in The Last Action Hero. He's not Death in The Last Action Hero. What am I talking about? He is the Reaper or whatever. He's the bad guy in The Last Action Hero. He shows up in a lot of different stuff. He's really great at playing creepy bad guys. So he is Kane in RoboCop 2. And there's a great scene where they just show his brain and spinal cord and eyeballs floating in a tank where they're preparing to put him in the new robo thing, new cyborg suit. Cyborg? Wow.
Cyborg. Oh my God. I'm looking at pictures of this.
Friend named Cyborg. you wish you were the brain in the tank.
Yeah, that's my ultimate. Wait, is that a bong?
Oh, is it? Where?
No, it's not. Okay, totally. This image of the thing that his brain was in looks like the greatest bong of all time.
Mm-hmm.
I want my bong water to be cerebrospinal fluid. Look at that and tell me that isn't a bong.
Well, are you texting it to me?
I am.
Okay. There's a lot of great stuff in RoboCop 2. Have you seen RoboCop 2?
I have not seen RoboCop 2.
Okay. There is a scene. So basically, one of the plot points is they're trying to make the new RoboCop, right? A better version of RoboCop. Oh my God. Yeah.
Impossible.
That's a fucking bong right there. Look at that bad boy. Yeah, I'd hit that. So they're trying to make a new RoboCop and they can't figure out how to do it. And there's a brief montage of a bunch of malfunctioning RoboCops. Who kill various people, including themselves, by malfunctioning. And it's a great scene. And the OCP leadership, rather than treating it like a tragedy, just kind of rolls their eyes.
Of course.
And it's pretty fantastic. There's a lot to like in RoboCop 2. That's for sure.
Have we done, like, RoboCop with tits yet?
Oh, BooboCop?
Try again.
RoboTop.
Getting closer.
Let's see. Can I do better than that? Aerobocop.
Okay, we're getting further away.
Agree to disagree. I mean, the title of episode. RoboCop with tits. Yeah, I mean, let's googling that right now. RoboCop with tits. What comes up? Oh, wait a minute. Here is a post from r/RoboCop from 5 months ago. Title of post, Breast in RoboCop. You know I'm clicking on this.
Yeah, of course you are.
I just started to watch the Robo One movie. I guess that's the original RoboCop. And I noticed a woman cop was changing in the very same locker room with men cops. Is this supposed to be normal for the real world or just for dramatic visual effects? And she also showed her breasts briefly and no one seemed to be surprised.
Well, the internet continues to internet. I guess, to be fair, RoboCop with tits is just Soriyama's art in the first place, which RoboCop, the design, is sort of based off of.
Wait, hold on. Is this... Oh, this is a quote from South Park, I guess. It just says, man on TV, colon, suck my shitty tits, RoboCop. Wow.
That is how I feel all the time.
Oh, wait. Did you know there's a website, rule34.xxx?
Yeah, of course.
I had no idea.
What kind of dilettante do you take me for?
I'm clicking this. Oh, that was a mistake. Yeah, I definitely don't want to be here right now. Click. I closed that window. That was that one of the biggest mistakes I've made.
Yeah.
Online.
No, I'm looking at what you clicked off of, and you're a coward.
I don't want to get too aroused while we're recording.
Well, there's something about when you go to a forum that's really specific, and you are like, the idea that you see posts on that kind of forum from yesterday and not 15 years ago, it's like, huh.
Shocking. Yeah. Because just the design screams like, yeah, 15, 20 years ago. Why that's still a thing. It's like, imagine going to, I don't know, something awful or something like that and posting today. Mm-hmm. Does this even still exist? I don't even know. But that style of thing, unbelievable.
Yeah. I do think with the inshittification of all of the everything of the entire mm-hmm. internet, mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind if we just went back to that aesthetic. It would be a very refreshing, because at least it would keep people separate from each other, because now we're all just jumbled in together on here for different reasons with different interests, and anything you post can be carried over to a different parcel of the internet mm-hmm. where everyone hates you or whatever. Like, I think people need to... Humans need holes to be in, to occupy.
You have no idea.
To decorate. Mm-hmm. To fill.
Yep. No, keep going.
We don't have a video episode this week because I have to be in my weird reclined position, but I was just mugging for the camera after saying that.
Let's explore the age gap between us, because unlike you, was alive and aware during the dawn of the internet. What is something like an old internet, I don't know, site or whatever, that you wish you had been around during the heyday of? Is there anything that comes to mind?
Rotten.com.
Oh, wow. Okay. Interesting choice. Why that?
Oh, because, you know, it has such a... It has left behind such a legacy. Mm-hmm. And I'm no stranger to seeing fucked up stuff on the internet, but there was mm-hmm. just something very elegant about the graphic on that home screen. Mm-hmm. And also, I use Rotten.com as a joke often enough that it's like, I'm really Rotten.com stolen valoring this.
Were you ever on any Usenet stuff?
No, I was not.
Yeah, you're
once
way
again,
too young
I'm
for that.
Baby.
Right.
Were you on Usenet, Brian?
I would read Usenet stuff from time to time, but I may not ever have posted beyond... I probably posted one or two things on like some niche thing, but no, I was aware of it, but I never got like updates. I would navigate to it and look at the things I wanted to look at, but no.
Jory was recommending to me the AV Club reviews of classic Simpsons episodes almost entirely for the comment section, because people mm-hmm. would go and pull the reviews from the time off of Usenet and post mm-hmm. them in the comments. And
oh,
it's
nice.
Very funny reading people in 96 or whatever reacting to all-timer best episodes. Like, the show has really fallen off.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
It's like, you have no idea, you fool.
Yeah, I remember, you know, I was... When was the first Simpsons episode? 91? Something like that?
You're asking the wrong gal.
Well, somewhere around there. But I remember when The Simpsons first came out, the... And then I'm not talking about when it was on Tracy Ullman before it became a show. Mm-hmm. But those first episodes, there were definitely people who were like, this is just, you know, this kind of humor is destroying the world sort of stuff. Because, you know, Bart's a bad example, blah, 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 that kind of stuff. Those were, that take was everywhere. And at the time there were, you know, it was also before the show got really good in those first couple seasons.
Yeah.
You know, it took a while for it to get amazing. Although still there's a lot to like in the early seasons, but
for sure.
When it was very, very Bart centric, right out of the gate, there was a lot of hue and cry about what a bad example Bart was.
You know what? There was a New York, what was the New York Times crossword recently that like the, you know, clue answer was hue and cry. I'd never heard phrase before until then. It was like
really?
Semi-recent. Yeah.
Well, that's surprising to me.
I mean, I know.
Yeah.
But yeah, famously the Simpsons beefing with the Bush family and then the Simpsons ultimate petty response of making the episode Two Bad Neighbors.
Yes. With.
Yeah.
Yeah. And which is now a classic episode.
Yeah.
For sure.
So fuck them. This is how, as we're seeing played out within the Drake and Kendrick beef at the moment, sometimes you really fuck yourself over, like the Bushes did by repeatedly going after the Simpsons.
Now, it is very interesting to me to hear you bring up the Drake-Kendrick beef, because I would never have guessed you cared about this at all. Maybe cared is too far afield. Maybe you're just aware of it, but...
Oh, no, I'm pretty invested.
Tell me what is interesting about this to you. Now, obviously, you're a huge Drake fan. And, you know, you called him, quote, the greatest artist, a once in a lifetime, a generational talent.
Jesus Christ, Brian.
What? Yeah. Can anyone defend anything Drake has ever done to me musically? Nothing about it is at all interesting or good as far as I'm concerned. But... What
so,
the fuck do I know? I'm only a professional
that energy,
musician
Brian.
With perfect
Hold that
taste.
Energy, because yes. If you feel like that, Drake comes at Kendrick, who is a Pulitzer Prize winner.
Yes. And an incredible musician and talent, unambiguously.
Yes. And then yes. Kendrick annihilates him.
Yes.
Repeatedly. And
yes.
It's fascinating. Like, I don't know. I'm not even sure I can fully... justify or explain it, but I've had like all of the tracks back and forth
to me
going.
This is like a feud between Kid Rock and Tom Waits. It's that's the talent difference between the two of them.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Yes.
I
will say I don't hate push-ups in Family Matters. It's just that Drake is thoroughly humiliating on both of those, and then The Heart Part 6 is just maybe one of the most embarrassing songs anyone has ever put out.
Is that one of the recent ones, or is that...
That was like Drake's latest comeback, where he was like, I'm actually too rich and famous to be a pedophile.
Yep. If Epstein taught us anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just every... Apart from whatever the fuck, why are they even fighting? Can you explain this to me at all, other than it's just something that's maybe fake?
I had to explain this to a person of like, if you're doing a fake rap PR beef and it's like a mutually agreed upon thing,
mm-hmm.
You don't run with the stuff that Kendrick's been running with. You don't let a song charted Billboard number one where the song is literally just you being called a pedophile to a dance beat. Like, have you mm-hmm. listened to any of the tracks in this whole offensive?
I want you to think about who I am and then try to answer that question for yourself.
I think you're a cultured and up-to-date gentleman with an interest in the hottest things going on in pop culture at the moment.
You know, you're not wrong about any of that, and yet I have still not heard anything. So,
all right. Well, we're not going to dedicate this episode to listening to them, but I want you to listen to them, because I also went into this like, what the fuck is everybody talking
about now? Is that what we're fucking doing this episode? Are we listening to this?
I get.
It doesn't sound interesting. I don't want to do it. No.
No.
Skip.
No, it's also like seven songs that you would have to listen to go from like the beginning towards the end.
Let me guess. The Kendrick ones are good and the Drake ones are bad.
I don't even want to say the Drake ones are bad. I think Push Ups and specifically Family Matters are both very listenable. It's just that, so like maybe Drake's best entry into this whole thing is Family Matters, which he like made a music video for and dropped. And the big thing about that was that he dropped that, and then within 20 minutes, Kendrick dropped the most brutal, coldest serial killer type beat diss track of all time. Like, Drake did not even get a chance to enjoy the W of Family Matters before getting a bomb dropped on his head. And it was pretty glorious to watch that happen in real time.
But what is the origin of this beef? Does anyone know? Or is it just something that someone said something mean about someone else and then it turned into a thing?
I mean, that, Brian, you've just described rap beefs in general.
Yeah, but sometimes they come from...
It's an escalation of various digs and a general ambient hatred.
Yep. That's actually the genre that I'm trying to break into.
Ambient hatred?
Yeah.
If Brian Eno got into that, what would his new moniker be?
Oh. I feel like we have to do a play on Eno.
I was going to say Brian Mino, but that feels
like...
Oh, no, that's it.
You got it. That's okay. 100% it. Yes. It was right there. Great.
Ambient hatred.
Brian Mino. Yeah.
Do you like Eno?
The stuff with Bowie I like a lot. I can't say I've listened to solo albums, like Music for Airports or whatever.
Yeah.
And been like, fuck yeah, awesome. He's obviously a very influential figure and does great work as a producer, but what are some albums that he's produced? Let's look.
Here Come the Warm Jets, which is his first album and when he was going full glam rock, and that's probably... I really like ambient music. I appreciate his ambient stuff on a conceptual level and like have great respect for the pioneering that he's done.
Yeah.
But my favorite Brian Eno is full glam rock.
Well, I was going to say, I feel like if I have to look up his discography, selected discography. Here we go.
Come on, Dead Finks Don't Talk. Fucks.
I want to know. I feel like I know the stuff he produced or co-worked on more than the stuff he put out under his own name.
The Windows Startup Sound.
Productions. I see. Here we go. This is what I'm looking for. What are some... Okay, Low. Yeah, the Bowie stuff. The Talking Heads stuff, right? Yep, those Talking Heads albums are great. And that's what I'm talking about. That's the stuff I know better.
Yeah.
I couldn't give a shit about U2. Wow. Did a bunch of U2 stuff. So, yeah, I will say... I guess he wrote some things on a Paul Simon album, which I like. Surprise.
That's nice.
Not the best Paul Simon album, but a solid one.
Be curious if you listened to Here Come the Warm Jets front to back, what your thoughts on it would be.
I will put that on my list.
Yay. Well, this has been our incisive music commentary for the episode, where I've managed to say nothing substantive about the Kendrick and Drake thing while also not explaining any of it to you, and you not listening to any of it, and then me asking if you like an artist that I don't even particularly care for. So, successful bit.
That's podcasting, baby.
That is podcasting, baby.
Do you have any tour questions for me? Anything you've been curious about? Anything you want to know? Do you want some hot goss on twerp?
I feel like for legal reasons you probably can't answer a good number of my questions.
You'd be surprised.
In what cities are the bodies buried?
Well, we leave a trail. Actually, here's something fun that happened on tour. One day, I was walking outside the bus, and then I realized it was leaking piss. Because that's what happens when you have 9 people peeing on a bus. The bus gets full of piss. And if
proxy
you don't empty
pissing.
The piss... if you don't empty the piss enough, the piss starts to leak, and the bus smells bad. We were standing, actually, one Mr. Aaron Hansen came to visit us at one of our shows, and we were all standing outside the bus, and I was like, man, this city is gross. It smells like piss. And everybody said, nope, that's us. The city smells great. Our bus smells like piss because that's the thing we've been pissing in. Yep.
Bringing this bucket of piss to a city near you.
That's exactly, well, I mean, that's exactly what it is. Now, we didn't do the Dave Matthews thing, of course.
Of course.
Because I would never. We empty the piss where you're supposed to empty the piss and not, say, on a bridge.
Which is Brian's mouth.
Yeah, oh, yeah, give me that delicious piss. Slurp, slurp, slurp. Just get it in there. Drink it all up. You know how I go.
Brian, I don't know anybody else who makes me regret the things that I say as quickly as you do.
Why, thank you, Layton. That's so nice. Maybe one of the nicest things anyone's ever said to me.
God bless. I'm very glad that you're back.
Me too. I'm trying to think of other fun. Are there any other fun tour?
Yeah, here's the thing. I should have better questions for you as a semi-professional interviewer, considering we've been doing this show for so long. I guess it would only be professional if we're actually making money from it. But I've been sitting in my apartment this whole time, and I should have some level of curiosity about what you've been doing. But the outside is a big and frightening place to me at the moment, that I can scarcely comprehend.
Well, oh, I can. Oh, yes, wait. Please. Yes.
Best bite of the tour. What was the best bite of food you had through this whole thing?
Oh, that is a good. Okay, let me look through. Let me look through these cities. Boop 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 boop. Like, honestly, nothing is like really jumping out. I'll tell you this: it wasn't in Canada. That's for damn sure.
Shots fired.
Yeah, I gotta say. So I went to three new cities in. I'll tell you a fun Canada story. How about that?
Oh, Canada.
Oh, Canada, indeed. So about, I don't know, 2 weeks, not quite, into the tour, we arrive in Calgary. So we played a bunch of, let's see, Detroit, Indianapolis, Chicago, Lawrence, Kansas, which I'd never been to before, Boulder, Fort Collins, Salt Lake City. And then after Salt Lake City, we had a day off in Helena, Montana, state capital, population just over 30,000, and which is tiny, teeny tiny. I'd never been before. I doubt I will ever be back, but, you know, interesting enough to walk around. And then we wind up in Calgary, and I'm almost out of headshots, which are a big part of the Trey Magnifique merchandise empire.
Right.
So I need to go find a place to print headshots in Calgary. And we're like in the middle of the city. It shouldn't be that hard. I've done precious little research ahead of time because I was like, what am I going to do? I'm just going to get there and figure it out. So I walk to one copy shop. They don't have what I need. I walk to another a couple blocks away. And it is this place where I met the most Canadian person I've ever met.
Oh.
In this copy shop. I almost said coffee shop. Copy shop in Calgary. And I can't remember the name of it offhand, but there's a guy there who is, I'd say, approximately my age, you know, graying, if not mostly gray. And this guy is a, you know, like a middle-aged Canadian white guy. Oh, how you doing? Oh, pretty good. You know, I got to print some headshots here. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What do you do there? I'm a musician. Oh, a musician. You on tour? Yep, I'm on tour. Oh, where do you live then? I live in Los Angeles. And this is where the conversation really got great. Oh, Los Angeles. Yeah, I've been down there. So I follow the football teams, and you know, I've been following the Rams for a little while. And so I went down there after my divorce, you know, take a little time for myself. And I got to say that downtown there is really something else. Like, you know, not too nice down there downtown. Not beautiful and clean like we are up here in Calgary. By the way, I would not describe anything about my Calgary experience as clean. Just a gray, you know, maybe those lovely parts of Calgary. It was not the part I was in.
Yeah.
Oh, so, but yeah, that LA there, you know, I really like the States. You know, people talk about the States like they're not so great, but I really like it. I've been down to, then he starts listing everywhere he's been. I've been to Denver. Been to Denver. That was nice. I like Denver. I've been down to San Francisco. Yep. A lot of NFL. And this guy goes on and on. He's so nice. But so Canadian, definitely had to throw the thing in about his divorce there, decided not to follow that up. And I will say, he printed a mean headshot. It was
wow.
Great.
Yep. Some nice glossies.
Yep. And I carried them. It was maybe a 10-minute walk back to the bus. And I also, because I was selling merch, I went to a store and I bought like street caution signs for the street.
Mm-hmm.
The kind that are like kind of triangular and you stand them up outside.
Yeah.
Caution, children playing. And I had to carry a box of several hundred headshots along with three caution signs back to the bus. I guess I could have called an Uber, but I didn't want to. And that was not a fun walk back.
Right. And you modified these caution signs, correct?
I did. It said caution, children playing. And I made them, I put, you know, it had like a infographic style child or person on it. And mm-hmm. I gave the kid a horn and in one case, a fedora and wrote caution, children playing smooth jazz and then signed them at the shows.
I do like the signs that are arranged like slow children at play.
Yeah, that's pretty much what this was.
I think those would adapt really well to slow jazz at play.
Yeah. I'm trying to, I feel like we had some good barbecue at some places. Where were we in the South?
Look, as somebody from North Carolina, I'd like to officially disavow North Carolina barbecue.
Really? I like Carolina barbecue. I think it's great.
Fuck, dude.
You don't like it?
I don't like Texas as a state, but they figured it out.
Texas barbecue is great.
It's the vinegary. The vinegar doesn't wash
like
for me in North Carolina barbecue.
I like the vinegar. Now, I did go to a Terry Black's in Dallas, which is very good. I like Black's barbecue, although shockingly expensive. For like a medium-sized lunch, it was like $40, which was a lot.
What's your favorite barbecue side? If you've got like an array of options, what are you going for first?
Oh, my typical is beans and slaw, usually.
Yeah, pretty ubiquitous.
Yeah, collard greens, if they're done right, are great.
Yeah.
I'm not a cheese guy, so I'll never do mac and cheese. Typically, actually at Black's, I did green beans because I was like, I need something green on this plate.
Yeah.
Hush puppies, great. Love hush puppies.
Dude, I haven't had a hush puppy in so long.
They're so great with the honey butter.
Right? Yeah.
It's great. Mm-hmm. But I almost never do potato salad. I like potato salad, almost never do it.
I have a tough time with the salads, egg salad, chicken salad, potato salad.
Yeah.
I like the Japanese version of all of those things. Just not.
I agree.
American.
Did I describe to you the breakfast place I went in Atlanta? Did we talk about this?
Was it good or bad? Because we talked extensively about you being a snob and repeatedly walking out of different restaurants.
This was okay. So that was in Jackson. Atlanta was entirely a different thing. It was perfectly fine. It was more just weird.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So we are in Atlanta, and we're in like a part of town where there wasn't a lot of options. You know, the standard move: you wake up, look around for coffee. Is there anything nearby? In this case, there was not a lot nearby. We're actually just parked right outside the Fulton County Courthouse where some shit is going down or, you know, has been. So, there wasn't anyway, like protesting or whatever, but there wasn't a lot down there. So I looked around for a decent coffee shop and there was one that was like a 15, 20 minute walk away. What the fuck else am I going to do? I'm going to go to it. So I walk into this coffee shop and... I walk in and kind of like lute and recorder music is playing. The walls are red with gold trim and a gentleman in a neck to ankle length robe, comes up to me and goes, "Good morning, Your Majesty. How may I help thee today?" And it turns out, did I tell you this already?
No.
It turns out that the theme of this particular coffee shop is like royalty. And there's like, there's fake thrones around.
What the fuck?
Menu was like the royal bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich. And this guy starts talking about the reason our coffee is fine for your, you know, your my liege, whatever, is because we're, and he starts saying coffee shit that I don't understand. We are 96% blah, blah, blah. And everyone that, and the orders that he's taking are, you know, it's standard coffee house stuff, like, you know, coffee, muffins, whatever. But everything is kind of infused with this Renfair sort of aesthetic. And so I order a yogurt and granola and fruit bowl, which has some fancy fucking name. And it gets served to me in a fake golden bowl by another guy in a basically robe with fake gold but plastic utensils. And every surface was like way too fancy for this coffee shop. It was amazing. It was so weird. And the food was totally fine. I mean, it was a yogurt and granola bowl. But I watched as a series of people walked in, and everyone had a... There were two categories of people. People who'd been there a bunch and knew what the deal was. And then a bunch of other people who were like, what the fuck is going on right now? And watching this very friendly guy act out, you know, whatever Renfair sort of thing he thought he was doing was a true pleasure to a group of increasingly baffled patrons.
I do like watching people be baffled.
Yeah. So that was fun.
Have you ever been to a Dick's Last Resort?
I think at one point, maybe. I don't have clear memories of it. I do have other stories for you, actually.
Okay.
Then tell me your dick story.
Oh, I don't have a Dick's Last Resort experience. Can you imagine me as a child going in there? I would walk out with permanent psychological wounds.
Yes, indeed you would. That would happen to you as an adult as well there. Another story I can share with you is, and this happened after the last full episode, that so I definitely haven't talked about this on the show, is for two shows on this tour, we had to do what we in the business call a disco loadout, which means there is another thing happening in that room that night. So you got to clear the fuck out so they can get their DJ or whatever in.
Gotcha.
And this happened to us in Vancouver, and it happened again in Brooklyn. So these loadouts suck because I'm like hanging out at the merch line. Now, I didn't have any real gear to like get rid of, so it's more twerp having to do all this. But that still sucks. Also, there's a merch line and twerp is trying to remain somewhat anonymous, right?
Right.
So that's a whole other issue. Anyway, so in Brooklyn, we finished the show. It's at a big club called Elsewhere, which has a bunch of different rooms. And the problem with Brooklyn is that the bus cannot park near the venue. And in fact, the bus had to park in Secaucus, New Jersey, which is all the way across Manhattan. You know, you got to get out of Brooklyn, cross Manhattan, and it's to Secaucus because there's rules about buses in New York, I guess.
Right.
The bus, you know, you could chance it, but you might get a ticket, and those tickets aren't cheap. We decide, not my call, although I don't think I would have decided differently, we decide to not chance it. Bus has got to clear out. We do this disco loadout. We got to get all the gear out of the club. We clear the gear out of the club. We're waiting in kind of a little alcove, which is like the entrance to the club, but it's outside. And we have to wait there for the bus to come from New Jersey, which takes 2 hours. So the bus takes forever. Now, it turns out that there was maybe the driver left a little late or something, whatever. But we are, our entire tour group is waiting outside this club with all of our gear for 2 hours as the club starts its rave night.
Oh,
and a giant group of people. Now, a lot of people came at Vancouver, like nobody was there for this DJ night. Mm-hmm. In Brooklyn, people keep coming in and coming in. We're just waiting there and it's cold. And we can't leave our gear because there's fucking strangers wandering in and out. And there's a lot of like expensive music gear. So we're all just waiting there, eating cold pizza out of boxes. And about an hour into this, I'm like, fuck it. I'm going live on Instagram.
And, oh, I see. I see.
And so I posted, and you can still see this, an Instagram live. I go live, title, live at the club, 3 exclamation points. And I decide I'm just going to stay live on Instagram until the fucking bus shows up. And it ends up being between 45 minutes and an hour, I think, as a bunch of people keep watching me, trying to figure out what the fuck I'm doing. But I just decide I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to kind of move around the club a little bit, mostly outside. And then someone, I think maybe Dylan, the merch guy, starts broadcasting me going live on his live. And it was this very surreal experience as a bunch of like club people all like dolled up, you know, wearing their club gear, you know, like, you know, club dresses and club stuff. Try to figure out what the fuck this middle-aged guy is doing, staring at his phone. You know,
broadcasting
elsewhere, broadcasting. At one point, if you watch it towards the very end, a guy comes over and he's like, "Yo, what's up?" "Oh shit!" You know, however many people, he's like, 87 people watching. Good number, dude. Good number. Yeah.
Not to put an editing load on you, but I think this podcast would be vastly improved if you got that snippet and dropped it in right here.
So yeah, that was annoying. Nobody was happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a great show the next night in Boston.
Wow.
So it all worked out. We immediately left for Boston. Yeah.
Who was the best crowd on tour?
The Boston crowd was really great. That was the biggest show. That was almost 1,000 people.
Holy shit.
And that was really, really great. And I'm talking about when you say best crowd, I'm talking about for my set. I did a very different thing than Twerp did, and all the crowds were great. Honestly, I will say, what's the right way of saying this? There are some crowds where people just scream things at me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And there's different levels of disruptive that can be.
Right.
There was one crowd pretty early on in the show, I can't remember where this was, where a couple people just spent the entire set screaming, "Ninja Brian! Ninja Brian! Ninja Brian!" at me, which is baffling.
That's nice. Because you have nothing to do with that guy. Trey has nothing to do with that guy.
Trey is not even aware that person exists. Now, could I smack people down? I could. I tried to do, you know, I have a recurring joke in the Trey set where I point at someone and say, "Security," which is kind of which I like because it's it's a joke, but it's also a way of sort of handling hecklers.
Yeah.
And heckling isn't quite the right word for it, but.
No, it's like when you go to the zoo and you tap on the glass incessantly.
Yes. So, but generally the crowds were great. Boston was probably the best. Boston, I also auctioned off. Did I tell you the thing I auctioned off?
What did you auction off?
It was
your virginity?
No, that I just sold. At Powell's in Portland, I bought the complete sheet music for Astro Lounge by Smash Mouth for guitar and vocals. And I was like, you know, I was doing silly merch items on the road and I would sign them and kind of write a silly quote on them. And I was like, I don't know how much to charge for this. I think it'd be fun to live auction it. And I actually had a great idea. This is definitely something someone has thought of. I wanted to do a reverse auction where it's like starting bid, $10 million. Okay, nobody? $5 million. And keep going down until the first person to call it out gets it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This must be a thing someone has thought of. It's very interesting. It's kind of a different, like, strategy, I guess, than a regular auction.
Yeah.
Right? Because you could imagine that there's a version of that where the thing gets more money, just right, because someone is very risk averse and they definitely want it.
Yeah.
So they kind of jump at the highest they could possibly go. I don't know. I'd be interested to see. Anyway, I was like, that would be funny, but also it would take up a lot of showtime. So instead, I just did kind of a modified auction where I was like, all right, make me an offer. And then we kind of went with it. And someone agreed to pay $300 for this fucking book, which...
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. But that was a fun crowd. And I had an old comedy friend in the audience that day, and that meant a lot.
Aww. So. I'm really glad that you had a good time, Brian.
I am too. Thank you. Meowch said, I've said this to a couple people. Maybe I said this on the mini. It was basically getting to have a slumber party with my best friends for a month and a half. And
living the dream, man.
I loved it.
When you're on the road, aside from missing your wife and child, what are the other like at home creature comforts that you miss most dearly?
Waking up and knowing where you're going to be pooping. That's a big one. I pooped a lot in art museums because that was usually my first destination of the day. And so there were a lot of, you know, masterpieces of modern art that I took a shit next to.
Yeah.
Showering, knowing where your shower is going to be. That's nice. I can't overstate that. Not trying to take my contacts out in a moving vehicle every night. That turns out to be, you get used to it, but you know, if your finger's near your eye and you go over a big bump, that hurts. I'm often a stomach sleeper. And so being on a bed where you can hang your feet off the edge is nice instead of being in a little, you know, coffin.
Wait, do you regularly hang your feet off the edge of your bed?
Yeah.
Like on your, I see what you mean. So your like toes are pointing down around the curve of the foot of your mattress.
That's right. Cause otherwise your feet are like weirdly up if you're on your stomach.
Interesting. How do you do the stomach sleeping without destroying your neck? Cause at heart, I'm a stomach sleeper, but I have too much of a gamer neck to make that work on a regular basis.
I think what happens is I fall asleep like that and immediately flip. Cause I seldom wake up like that.
Yeah.
What are other creature comforts?
Coffee in your home that you can have.
That's nice. Although it is nice to go out to coffee shops and see different like little cute coffee shops. But yes, coffee that you don't have to pay $6 for every time you drink it or whatever.
Yeah.
To eating on a regular schedule. Like if you wake up at 10 a.m., you're immediately in that zone where you're like, what meal am I about to have? So it's nice to have, you know, I get up in the morning, whatever, 7 a.m., breakfast, lunch, dinner, boom. Tour meals are iffier.
Yeah. Not knowing quality, what it's going to be, when you're going to get it, how long it's going to take you to eat it, what the ambiance at the food eating place will be.
If you're doing food after the show, and this is more of an issue for Twerp, or like when NSP is doing a headlining thing, if you order anything, by the time you eat it, it is freezing cold.
Yeah.
So it shows up, you know, restaurants don't stay open super late typically. So if it shows up at 9 p.m. or whatever, you're not going to eat it till like 11. And that sucks.
Yeah. And with a lack of air fryer.
Yeah, I mean, there's no microwave on the bus. Like, there's nothing to heat. There's a toaster. That's it.
Wow.
Maybe some buses do have microwaves. I'm sure they do. Ours didn't. I think ours didn't. If it did, nobody used it. Yeah, it's touring is so fun, but it is such a pain in the ass. And even on a day off, it's like you're not really comfortable. You know, you're just trying to figure out where to be for a day. I gotta say with the Trey show, I felt like I was really able to find that show in a way I'd never had before. And that's what you get by performing something 30 times. You know, like, I was trying different stuff. I got a better feel for the character. You know, I was able to write lots of new jokes and try stuff out. And as I mentioned on the last episode, do a bunch that just didn't land and then do them again and watch them not land again, which is a true pleasure of mine.
Of course.
But yeah, it's a lot of fun. You also get to see the worst green rooms America has to offer. And some of the best.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing is, you know, you just never really know what you're walking into until you've been there before.
Mm-hmm.
So is the, you know, you really don't know until you walk on stage, is this going to be a sweaty mess or pretty okay?
Yeah.
And sometimes there was one show we did in Syracuse at a truly awful venue where it was... like the kind, my fingers are slipping off the saxophone because it's so hot and gross in there. Yeah.
And as hot and gross as it is for Trey, I can only imagine for Twerp.
Well, yeah, because I'm literally shirtless, right?
Yeah.
You know, my costume is almost as cool as it could be, but those guys are in masks and fucking spandex and whew, not fun.
I don't know how they do it.
I don't either. I was talking to Dr. Sung at one point. I was like, did you ever ask yourself, why did I pick something where I have to wear all this bullshit? Because I ask myself this all the time. And then I have the other, like, I did a thing where I have to wear a lot of bullshit that's really hot. And then I chose another thing to do where I also have a fucking costume.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, why am I, it's a total self-own. Like, why am I doing this to myself? But
yeah.
You know,
it's nice that when I do my other jobs, I can simply wear my pajamas,
mm-hmm.
which is what I spend most of my time wearing anyway. And this is even before I fell off my roof.
Yes, indeed.
Because I've given up, folks. I have officially given up on fashion.
Pajama time.
I'm done.
That's great.
It's leggings and sweatpants and oversized t-shirts. I just went through and got rid of any shirt that is like under a medium or sorry, under a large. And I mean, in terms of graphic tees,
mm-hmm.
any graphic tee, I need it to be.
You're embracing the bagginess now.
Yes. Cause it's so much more comfortable. I feel restricted.
Mm-hmm.
I've got, so you know,
you got rid of your Lycra bodysuits.
Yes.
That you always wore.
Yeah, I know, my whole closet was filled with them. Spandex, I don't know what I was thinking.
Yeah.
But no, I like tight pant, billowy shirt.
That's
it's not a good look, but it's comfortable.
It is a fairly popular look these days, right?
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
Hence, I've given up on fashion. I'm not trying to be counterculture. I'm not trying to be anything other than wearing my extra extra large health shirt for the fifth day in a row. Well, you'll be pleased to know that I've, you know, purchased your child birthday presents after our discussion yesterday.
Oh, good. Yes. Almost 10. Almost 10 years old. It's
crazy. I might have gone a little nuts, but she'll lose her mind. So I'm excited
That's
about
great.
It. It is the perfect bridge between video games and makeup. So
I think we're going to get her a new Switch.
Oh,
because the one we have is the one I got for free when I did the
Nintendo
Breath
Switch
of
thing.
The Wild Nintendo Switch thing with Smosh and Game Grumps.
Mm-hmm.
The thing where. Was it Ross and I? Maybe Ross, Barry and I got to watch a donkey masturbate.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. A classic story. An animal with the largest penis I've ever seen. I mean, truly the largest penis I've ever seen on an animal. And I know it's saying something because I'm including myself in this.
Yeah, I know.
And watching this donkey stand there and swat its dick against its belly over and over and over, and a group of, I've told this story on the show before, although it's been a while, a group of you know, Let's Players were standing around this animal watching it, and everyone's like, what is it doing? And then someone, I forget how this came up. Someone's like, oh, that's how they jerk off. Now, one might ask the natural question here, which is, did we watch it finish? And I'm proud to say we did not. I don't know if we walked away. I can't believe that anybody would walk away on purpose from entertainment of that caliber. But
right.
I believe we had to go do something.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was like a shoot, so we were waiting for something to happen. But,
uh-huh. Yeah. You were waiting for something to happen.
Yeah. Can you imagine? Oh, man. Be so cool to watch a donkey jerk off and then come.
Stop.
That would be the ultimate pleasure.
That's the ultimate Let's Play channel. It's just,
yeah,
it's just a donkey jerking off.
Well, it makes sense because, like, I had not thought about it. How does an animal without, I mean, that just has hooves,
right,
or something, pleasure, mm-hmm, itself, right? Well, I know what my answer would be. Often. But for, you know, if you're a horse or a donkey or whatever the fuck else you are,
mm-hmm,
and, you know, the urge strikes and you're standing there, a little donkey ass and no hands, what do you do? Well, I guess the answer is you
swat.
You swat over and over and over. Until, you know, nature takes its course.
Well, we were talking about the new Nintendo Switch you were going to buy for your child.
Oh, yeah, right. Great. Well, yeah, so the one we have is from, I don't know, 2017, and it's in pretty rough shape. So I think that's the big gift this year.
I love the texture on her Joy-Con. I mean, I don't actually love the texture, but the texture on her Joy-Cons is just so, like, slick from accumulated greases.
Yep.
Child greases.
A well-loved machine.
It is.
She's very, well, she's a great kid.
She is.
I hope we have a good birthday.
What color Joy-Cons are you getting for that bad boy?
That I have to figure out. I haven't gotten that far yet.
Nice.
But we are going to the Ren Faire this weekend.
Wow, that's exciting.
It is very exciting.
I don't envy you at all.
Nope. There's a lot to like about the Ren Faire. The shows are fun, I think. Like, that, I'd say that my favorite part is the performers. Performers are really good, generally speaking. The food sucks, mm-hmm, and is way too expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Getting there is annoying.
Good parking. Luck parking. It's hot. It's dusty.
Yep.
People are drunk.
Because we're there early, because we have a kid, people are less drunk than typical, than they might be later in the day. But the joust is always fun. I like the joust. The aerialist, always fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, it's fine. For a little kid, it's great.
It's great. You're right.
We're going with her best friend, and they're going to dress up in like fairy wings and stuff. It'll be fucking awesome.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, it's interesting having to look at stuff from a child's point of view. Of just like, as an adult, the Ren Faire is the most miserable thing in the world to me. But I'm sure as a child, I would have lost my mind for it.
I'm past where it would have been totally miserable. And I'm like okay with it now. I will say one thing I'm done with, and apologies if this applies to anybody listening to this. The time travelers at the Ren Faire costume, I'm over it.
Is that
Hot
a thing?
Take. It is a thing that people will come dressed up in like Star Trek uniforms or whatever. And the idea is that they're time travelers. Back in the Renaissance. Because, of course, at the Ren Faire, there's a specific time and place it is supposed to be.
Right.
Right. It's like in the city of whatever, which is, I forget where it's supposed to be, in a specific year. Now, I don't think they're exactly striving for historical accuracy But right. roughly speaking, there is an idea of when it's supposed to take place.
All right, that's fair. So, how does steampunk factor in on that?
Oh, there's a significant steampunk presence, and there are like steampunk stores and stuff.
Okay, so steampunk is fine, but actual future time travelers aren't.
Oh, what's my opinion on steampunk? I'm also done with steampunk, but whatever. Steampunk at least looks cooler.
Brian, we all were done with steampunk circa 2011, and here we are.
Yes. I have to bring plenty of cash because I'm going to get a couple Plague Doctor masks, and, you know, I got to get some gauntlets. Gauntlets, bracers. Maybe I'll pick up a halberd or two. You know, basically anything that my characters in D&D would wear. That's what Daddy's getting.
Well, I hope you have a good time at the Renaissance Pleasure Fair.
We're gonna have a greater time. Let's just say that I'll be bringing the pleasure.
Fair enough.
One thing I didn't do as Trey, which I kept forgetting to do, is at some point to say something like, you know, I just don't understand what's wrong about wanting to give and receive pleasure. Which is...
Yeah, I think that's maybe like one of the most off-putting sentences possible.
Well, 100%. It is the kind of thing that whenever you hear someone say it earnestly, you're like, whoa, what the fuck is going on over there?
And receive pleasure. You're so right.
It's so upsetting to hear someone say that. And that's why I wanted to say it as Trey, because it is truly the kind of thing only a monster says.
A monster who's about to, you know, fillet this sax.
That's exactly right. Yeah. In terms of upsetting sentences, that was exactly my thinking. Is it betrays a certain amoral self-centeredness, I think. Well, I think we should move on to segments, speaking of things to do.
Yeah, sure, why not?
It seems like we're about at that time in the show. And this, actually, I have I want to do a different thing this week to celebrate me returning from tour.
All right.
So, you know, it's been a little while on the show since we've done regular segments. On our last episode, I guess the mid tour, we did kind of normal segments. Is that right? I can't remember.
Yeah, and I've kind of skipped segments on my solo ones.
Noticed that on the Jory one, I had the theme songs ready to go, and I didn't see them. So I wanted to maybe kind of reinvent the segment section of this show, which we can take or leave moving forward. I think you're going to like where I'm going with this.
Okay.
But if not, you know, as always, I remain open to feedback from both you and the listeners. And if people don't like what they're about to hear or think that the segment could be improved in any way, that's totally fine. I don't mind gentle, please, but constructive criticism. That's always appreciated. But, you know, just mind your tone and be aware of my credentials, I guess, when you're giving me feedback. So, you know, you can certainly tell me if you want me to do something differently, but just do it in a respectful way that befits one of my stature and education, right?
Mind your tone and be aware of my credentials is a masterstroke, Brian.
Why, thank you very much. I mean, it is something that I wish today's youth would take to heart. Mm-hmm.
After this episode is over, I'm going to have to send an email basically to that effect.
To me?
Yeah, why not?
Or to the listeners scolding them?
No, just, you know.
Just. Please.
Bitches be sending emails.
It's really true. They really do be sending emails. And you are welcome to email me or text or WhatsApp or Snapchat, I guess.
Ew.
Anytime you want. But listen, I fear I may be slightly belaboring the point here, which is that I'm going to do a new thing here on the podcast, which is to rather than enter into a discussion with you, I'm going to do a little little moment here for myself, which I feel like I haven't really had a chance to do in the last few weeks. Well, I've been on tour. You know, when you're on a tour bus, you're sharing space, mental and physical, with a bunch of other people, eight or nine. In this case, there's also a dog. Did I tell you about the dog?
There was a dog?
In a very questionable move, the bus driver brought along his eight-week-old Chihuahua puppy.
Oh, yes. We did
talk
about the dog.
Sorry, not Chihuahua. Dachshund.
Dachshund. I got to see pictures of it. Yes.
Very cute. Not something I would have done.
Right.
Whatever. But, you know, I've been sharing space for a while. Indeed, I share space in my home with my family. Some of whom are maybe more mindful of my personal space than others.
Right.
Of the two people I live with, one is aware that I have corporeal form, and the other is, shall we say, less aware.
Sure.
Of that, and tends to jump slash step slash et cetera on me.
Right.
As we go. So I'm going to take a moment here to do kind of, you know, this is not what this first segment is exactly, but it's kind of Brian's Corner, where I get to go through the news, opine on matters of the day, and, you know, just give my personal, you know, libertarian right-leaning take on the news as I see it. And this is definitely, you know, it's, I wouldn't call it the no spin zone, because that name is taken. And also, none of us is without bias, as I freely admit. When cornered, I am sure I have my own set of biases that I bring to the table. And if anyone has, you know, if you spot any, certainly I'd be interested in hearing what they are. So feel free to send me an email.
But remember his credentials.
Yeah, remember my credentials. Watch your tone. Watch your language. Also, I don't know, maybe like just talk to me as you would a superior, I guess is what I'm trying to say. You use my title. I don't think that's too much to ask. It's Professor Wecht, actually, I was never officially a professor in the UK system, so you don't need to call me Professor Wecht. Dr. Wecht is fine. That is my my actual title. So just be respectful is all I'm really asking here, as much as you would not just another person. Because we really should be respectful of everybody, but, you know, someone who is older and smarter than...
Right. Well, Brian, I'm dying to hear what you have to say in your segment that you've yet to name.
That's great. Well, this segment is called What's Poppin', and the theme song goes here.
What's poppin'?
What's poppin'? Layden, what's poppin'?
I'd ask that you use my title, Brian. I've shown you respect, Dr. Wecht, and I ask that you show me the same.
All right, Ms. Gray. What's poppin'?
What's poppin' for me is the new-ish Justice album, Hyperdrama.
Oh, okay. I didn't know there was a new Justice album.
Dude, it's so good. It's front to back bangers, no skippers. I've had it on repeat along with a bunch of Kendrick tracks this past week. And it's been really delightful. And Conan Moccasin, I'm probably saying it wrong, is like one of the
Colin
features.
Colin Mockery, I think is his name.
Is on the song Explorer, which is like a dark horse favorite of mine on here. But Conan Moccasin as an artist in his own right is awesome, and also did this album as Soft Hair that is one of my favorites. So I was really excited to see him pop up on this album with Justice. There's a Tame Impala track. Like, it's a real treat. So, folks, if you like Justice, please listen to Hyperdrama.
Well, I love Justice, especially the way the Supreme Court's been leaning recently.
Jesus fucking Christ. But yeah, that is what's popping for me. And also, if I'm going to recommend one specific Kendrick Lamar song, I will recommend Money Trees because it samples Beach House and also is a great song in general.
Great.
And also, not like us, Meet the Grahams and Euphoria, if people want to go down the dissing Drake and ruining his career path. All three of those are great songs.
Fantastic.
Yeah. All right. That's what's popping for me. Brian, what is popping for you?
What is popping for me is it is a TV show I started watching over the last week. I forget. It's a few years old. I think maybe even started in like 2017 or so. It's the show Loudermilk, starring Ron Livingston, which when we were recording in Toronto, Jim Roach was watching a lot of and is like, dude, this is so funny. You got to see it. And I just kind of sat on it until, I don't know, this week. And I'm really enjoying it. It's a Peter Farrelly of the Farrelly Brothers show, him and I forget the name of the other creator. But it's Ron Livingston being Ron Livingston, which is pretty much the same character he always is.
Yeah.
But it's fun. I'm enjoying it. Is it the greatest thing ever? No. But it's worth watching. I'm one season in out of three. And it's very snarky. You know,
your favorite thing.
My favorite thing. Is it flawless? Absolutely not. But it's got Will Sasso, who's always great.
Yeah, and Brian Regan, right?
Yeah, when he first showed up, I was like, oh my god, it's Brian Regan. What? He plays. So the idea is that Loudermilk, Ron Livingston, is basically leading a recovery group, an alcoholics recovery group, and Brian Regan is one of the people in the group. And when he first, I don't think I've seen him act in anything in a long time. So when he first showed up, I was like, whoa, that's cool. And yeah, I'm enjoying it. Other people may as well. That's what's popping for me.
Excellent. Well, now it's time for our final segment, which is three parts gratitude exercise, one part petty grousing, and all parts latent fucking up the introduction. The name of the segment is Peaches and Lemons, and the theme song goes right here.
Peaches and Lemons. Peaches and Lemons.
Great.
Amazing. Flawless on episode 220. I'll get there someday.
It occurred to me as I was typing in the number of this episode that for episode 210, I should have gotten half high.
You should have. That was a real fuck up, Brian.
Yeah, I thought so, but
so we'll start with our lemons, which is a minor bummer, annoyance, inconvenience, what have you, and I'll go first. This is... If there is one single person in the audience who relates to this, please tell me. My lemon is that there's this video game I love and have been playing a ton of lately called Fashion Dreamer. I believe I've talked about it on the show. It's a Switch game where you design clothes and you get to make outfits for people all around the world. Mm-hmm. And it's a really fun and cute dress-up game. The problem is that like a big core mechanic is collecting clothes that other people are wearing, but there's an item cap. And you
I got in trouble for that. Sorry.
There's a 6,000 item cap. The problem is if you want to delete stuff from your inventory, you can only delete things 10 at a time.
What?
Yeah. And so I hit the 6,000 cap today. And I've been slowly trying to whittle it down. But like the game is also, God bless it, a little laggy. So there's like lag as you're trying to do the 10 items at a time. And it sucks. Like I'm just going to have to put some real time into deleting items. Like I'm going to try to get rid of most of the things that I have. But it's just for a game where like to get copies of whatever a person's wearing in your inventory, you can just like walk up to them and press A and you get all the stuff that they're like a copy of the stuff that they're wearing. So it makes it really easy to rack up that number really fast, where like you might actually get 10 pieces of clothing off of one person's avatar or whatever. So don't just let me only delete 10 at a time, please.
I hate inventory management. Maybe there are people out there who like it. I fucking hate it. It's so tedious. Yeah.
But sometimes I want tedium. I just don't want it in my cute fashion game.
You know what I always fail at? Crafting. What? When there's crafting stuff, I always forget about it.
I love crafting shit, bro.
Many people do, obviously. For me, it's like, I'll use Elden Ring as an example. You can make all this shit all the time. I just never made any of it. I just couldn't care less. Yeah.
That's so interesting because there are a lot of games that like I maybe only care about. Like the biggest example is I bounce off of the Zelda Tears of the Kingdom and Breath of the Wild games really hard. I just can't quite get super into them. But I will run around collecting ingredients for recipes so I can cook. That is very fun for me. Or like...
You and Walter White.
After all this time that I've spent playing Skyrim, Min-max, just like, I'm going to pick every ingredient and then I'm going to go to the website that lets you enter what all of your ingredients are. So it tells you the highest value potions that you can make to resell them. So I like doing that. It's fun.
Cool.
What's your lemon, Brian?
My lemon is just that I'm back from tour and now I have to fucking catch up on shit. And there's a lot to catch up on. I'm in various stages of doing shit for 5,000 different things. And how to put this delicately, for many of the things I'm involved with, they don't get done unless I do them.
Yes.
And I've been on the road and it's been very hard to do things. And now I'm back and they all have to be done.
Hooray!
Yes, but...
Well, good for you, Brian. Yes.
But no, I can't complain that I have a lot of things going on. And as always, I am hoping that people like them and, you know, they work out. But
yes. Nevertheless, it is still a job that you have to do to support your family.
That's correct. It is a job I have to do to support my family. But it's also a job I get to do, which makes it
awesome. Yeah. All right. Well, great. With that attitude, we will move into Peaches. And I'll do mine because I feel like I'm pretty efficient with Peaches. My first one is that job that I cannot talk about is fun and enjoyable. And I've been having a good time doing it. And that's a special thing. So, yeah, that's peach number one. Peach number two is that the boys are back in town, i.e. you, i.e. Twerp. And by back in town, I mean they will regularly be on our Discord for gaming, or at least for me watching them game. So that's exciting because it's been quiet in there.
Yep, no time for gaming on the bus. Although there was a bunch of Helldivers 2 happening.
Oh.
During all the kerfuffle as well, but yeah.
Wow, nevertheless, you all persisted. And then I guess related to it is that the past couple of nights, Aaron has been playing New Vegas again. And I've just been hopping on and watching him play New Vegas. And I got him to start playing Honest Hearts, which is my favorite of the DLCs. So that's been, I had to like make him reload a save last night early on because he was like, yeah, I've got Joshua following me around and I'm going to go kill these guys. And I was like, Aaron, that's the last quest of the DLC. You just started this. You can't do that.
Amazing.
And that man refuses to save.
Oh.
Like he won't save and then he'll get killed and then be like, oh man, I should have saved right after I did all that inventory management.
Oh my God.
It kills me a little bit. It's like, you have save slots. You can use them. Aaron! Yeah. Anyway, an absolute joy to do. If you see us doing that again, you should pop in and say hi. Those are
was
my peaches.
Yeah, those three.
Yeah, that was three of them. What about you?
My peaches are, well, number one's the obvious one. I'm back. I'm with my family again. I get to podcast with you. It's great. I'm happy to be here and be back with friends and family. So it's tour was fun, but It's nice to be home and barely sleep in my own bed because I'm bad at sleeping. But still, in principle, I could. Right. Page number two, and this is a good one. I came from the East Coast, came from Toronto here. Mm-hmm. And this time shift is fucking working in my favor. I'll tell you what. It is awesome. I wake up 7 a.m. I'm fucking ready to go. My brain, it's 10 a.m. in my brain. Love it. I got to 2 p.m. yesterday and I was like, oh, that's a day. What? I still have 3 more hours. Fuck yes. Oh, I love this time shift. It's really great. It's like been working out in my favor. I'm sure in 2 days I'll be back to
It's like the time equivalent of when you've been walking on like a people mover moving sidewalk at the airport and then you get off and you feel like Superman.
Mm-hmm. 100%. That's it. And my final peach, it's part of my lemon, but there's a lot going on right now and it's all good. It's all fun stuff. Some new projects, some old projects, many of which I've talked about. New Starbomb album coming out, you know, working on the NSP cover album, working on more Trey stuff. Actually just set dates to go up in August to Toronto to record some more Trey stuff. And the tour really, in one thing that I loved about this tour is it, if I had any doubt that the Trey thing had legs and or was something I wanted to keep doing, this tour removed all of it. Like,
wow,
it did really well live. I was having a great time with it. It made me more excited to do more Trey stuff. The guy who runs the studio that we recorded the first album at came to one of the shows and he was like, damn, your playing got a lot better.
Wow. That must feel good.
It feels good. And he was like, not that it was bad before. I was like, no, but yeah, of course it got better. Like, I hope it got better. I've been playing, you know, almost every day for a month and a half. I would hope I'm a better player than I was before. And I want to keep up the practice regime, you know, with the sax and stay kind of where I am and keep improving. I really want to take sax lessons, but I haven't found a good, like a teacher out here yet.
I would be very interested to hear how that goes.
I'm sure it could only help, right? Like, mm-hmm. I haven't taken sax lessons since college. I've taken sex lessons.
Mm-hmm. And given them as well.
Well, yeah, but, you know, I consider that a public service.
Right.
My sex lessons. But do I want to do more on that bit?
I don't know. Let's move on.
More on the sex lessons. There's no, I'm not going to do more on that bit on the sex lessons.
Great. Excellent decision.
I am a generous instructor. Let's just say.
Well,
wait, I'm not done. so I'm just excited about doing more Trey stuff and it's happening and plan right now. And there's nothing firm, but the idea is to do a Christmas EP.
Wow.
Or a holiday, really. Holiday EP. And I think it'll be some classics and maybe one original song.
Wow, so, that's going to rule.
I hope so. So I got to write that. And
is the Trey Christmas fit exactly the same, but with an all-white Santa hat?
I think it's is it an all-white Santa hat? In my mind, it was exactly the same, but with the Santa hat. But
I think all-white would be cooler.
All white would be good. That's a very good idea. Okay, yeah. I'm
almost
sold.
More like a sleeping cap with like a really long.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll look at options. But that's a good. All white is very good.
Yeah. You've got an aesthetic. I feel like you should run with it.
Yep. I'm a white man.
All right. Well, everybody, thanks for joining us now that hopefully we're back on. I think we've done a great job maintaining the show during both of our respective, having better word. Yes. But here we are. We're back.
Is it interregnum? What's the plural? Interregni? Probably. Anyway.
Great question. But, we are here. We're back to both give and receive audio pleasure.
Let's see. Somehow that's worse. also, you could have said oral.
Fuck! Right?
Wow, that actually, you hit a resonant frequency with that.
I'm upset that I didn't say that.
Yeah, well, now here's your chance, Layton. Say it.
No.
Yeah, I knew that was coming. Well, then I'll say it. Thank you for letting us give you oral pleasure. Bye.
See you next week.
Late Night is produced by Brian Wecht and Layton Gray. Sign up for our Patreon at patreon.com/LaytonNight. Follow us on Twitter at @LaytonNight, on Instagram at @Layton_Night, or email us at LaytonNight@gmail.com.